I was looking forward to preaching today for a couple different reasons. One, I knew if I preached this weekend, the pastor would have a more relaxing holiday. And he mentioned about working on a group with him. Need to pray for the future of our church and our vision. There is a group of us, and if you don't want me to say anything, you can tell me later. There is a group of us that are looking into potential sites, God's direction and vision as far as a facility. You know, we've grown quite a bit these last 5 years, and we do want to reach more and more Fort Wayne, don't we?
Amen.
And so there's a group of us that are looking, praying, trying to gather different people's wisdom. And so just pray that God would lead us in that direction that he wants us to have. When I met with Pastor Tuesday, he was fighting laryngitis, so I thought, well, that's another reason to go preach this week. And here, in the irony of life, I came down with a bug the last couple of days, and I missed about 3 hours of sleep last night. So I told James, I said, just make sure you turn the volume up. I'm so thankful for the privilege to, and I was reminded of this as we were worshiping. Where's Cody? Cody, thank you. He's having a drink. Water. The worship touches the heart, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Reminds us of the love of Jesus. I do like preaching about financial freedom. I do like preaching about the blessed life because I believe in it. And I think Nanette and I have tried to faithfully practice it as well. You know, Pastor has stated that money is not always an easy thing to preach about. But we do so not to get something from you, but very truly and honestly to get something to you. And I repeat that today as Pastor states it. Because I've been challenged in this area of the blessed life, and I hope you have as well. You know, the Lord these last 3 weeks have challenged us, encouraged us to put him first, to trust in him, to return to him the resources that he gives us in our tithe and offerings, knowing that God is going to be faithful and he's going to bless the rest. We've been challenged a couple weeks ago to live by the biblical principles of multiplication. The idea that as we trust God for our every need, as we choose not to live by greed, but choose to sow the seed and make an impact in people's lives and for the kingdom of God's sake, that God will bless and multiply in abundance. Last week, we were reassured that we are but stewards of all that God had given us, and that we are to be wise in how we use our resources in this world, keeping an eye to the future, not only here, but in eternity, and practicing a spirit of generosity. Paul wrote a lot of the epistles in the New Testament, of course, and as he wrote his second letter to the Christians at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, I believe, is his really lengthy and in-depth thought, and God's inspired, of course, of being generous, of giving to make an impact and be a blessing to other people. And so he writes in chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, he says, "Now he," of course he's talking about our Lord, "who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." As I look at these two verses, I think they encapsulize what it means to live a blessed life. It's knowing that I can trust God for all of my needs, recognizing also that he gives me resources to sow into other people's lives and into the kingdom of God. And I cannot outgive God, but rather as I live out generosity, that he replenishes both for my own needs and for future sowing to his glory. That's what the blessed life is. And it's grounded in, it's grounded in three certain truths. First of all, the heart of God is extravagant love. John writes in his first epistle, and he says, God is love, and this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I have, of course, in other times of being able to share the gospel and preach here at Elevate, have shared my own testimony. And as Pastor says, you know, every person counts. We all have a story. We have a testimony to share of the love of God and how it has touched our lives. And again, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I can only remember maybe a couple of times of being in a Sunday school as a kid. I remember getting the old Gideon's Bible in elementary school. But it wasn't until I was 16 years old, my brother and I attended an evening service at a little church in New Haven, and we heard the gospel for the first time, and we both went forward and asked Jesus into our heart. And in that church, their tradition was they baptize you right away, and they gave us a Bible, and that was the start of our journey. And God has given Nanette and I quite an adventure in serving him. Soon after we were married, about a year and a half, of course, we went to Alaska to help out a former pastor of ours. And you know, we taught Sunday school as a church treasurer. We worked with youth, all that kind of stuff. And God led me into beginning to prepare for the ministry. I served 1 year as an assistant pastor. Then we went to Fairbanks and attempted to pioneer a new work. And being a novice, after 2.5 years, I didn't do a very good job, and we closed it up. But we moved back to Fort Wayne for a couple of years, and then God said, I'm not done with you. And he called us to Wisconsin, and there we pastored 2 churches, one a country church and one a city church in Janesville. And again, I got out of the ministry, and disappointment turned into bitterness, and bitterness turned into rebellion, and I spent a few years away from the Lord. And 9 years ago, on my 54th birthday, he touched my heart and healed me. And so it's been a good adventure ever since. God loves us with an extravagant love. He's the God of second and third and fourth chances. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and me, and he took our sins upon himself so that we could be forgiven and we could be reconciled and we can have the eternal life that begins now as well in the future and eternity. And I don't know, there may be somebody here this morning that this gospel message is new to you, and maybe for the first time you're hearing the challenge of God to respond to that love, and you're feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit on you. And I'll tell you, today is the day to choose Jesus and choose life. Amen. So the blessed life is also grounded in another truth, that the activities of God are immeasurable blessings. James writes in his epistle in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, Nanette and I have been married, we'll be 42 years here in July. We have lived as far as in provisions and financial experiences, we've lived in times of check to check. I know the first 7 years of our marriage, we didn't even have a credit card. That tells you how old I am. But, you know, God has always been faithful. And much of my ministerial experience was bivocational. So I've done a lot of different things, from janitorial in a pizza restaurant, to being an expediter for an architectural firm. And through the years, more years in secular work than in the ministry, I've done warehouse work, I've done manufacturing work. And you know, God has always been faithful. Yeah, I know what it's like too to lose a house. when things went sour in Fairbanks and oil dropped from $30 to $10 a barrel. Boy, we wish that was that time now, wouldn't we? But although I did see gas drop down to $2.49. But, you know, God has been faithful to us. And especially in the last 10, 12 years that God provided for us so that I could retire at the age of 60 and help out here at Elevate in any way that I can. This is Thanksgiving week, so of course it's a time to reflect on God's blessings. He gives us our life and our breath. You know, I was born premature, 4 pounds, stopped breathing, was revived by a nurse, put in an incubator for a few weeks. My brother was also premature, and he was born with cerebral palsy. And so I wonder, you know, why was one way and one another? I've had different brushes with experience. One time in Wisconsin, we were driving. I was driving by myself, going to go get some ice cream. I think it was probably, and it was a winter road, and I lost control. And I don't know if you guys ever remember the Ford Festivas. They were like a sardine can on wheels, and yeah, I could fit in it. But anyways, we got good gas mileage on that one. But I lost control and rolled the car about 3 or 4 times. And I can remember, you know, a few bags of groceries flying around and the trash little container in the console was flying around and I was flying around. But I came out unscathed. And Nanette had a grandpa that died from a car crash where he rolled his car, wearing a seatbelt and yet broke his neck. And I wonder, you know, why one way and one another? God is good. His blessings are abounding on us. You know, my dad died at 68, and by the time he was my age, he had already had triple bypass surgery and his first bout of cancer. And then about 4.5 years later, another couple bouts of cancer, and he passed away. And so I thank God for my relative health. You know, I got one kidney, got one bad eye, got arthritis and one broken ankle, a little wear and tear, but, you know, God is good. I'm also thankful this Thanksgiving weekend for God's relationships that he's given me. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got 2 great kids, good son-in-law, 3 wonderful grandkids. I've got a lot of friends. And we praise the Lord for that. God is a God of unmeasurable blessings. Never doubt that. Ground your life in that fact. The blessed life is also grounded in another principle and idea, and it's that the desire of God for my heart and yours, for my life and yours, is to emulate, the emulation of Him. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes and he says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. You know, I chose the word for emulate for a reason. It means, of course, to imitate. It means to follow the example of, to mirror, to pattern after, to follow in the footsteps of. And God encourages us, challenges us, lays before us the path to be like him in our heart. It begins in the heart. It's a work of God. And may we each be open to God's working this morning and the difference he wants to make in my heart and in yours. But it blossoms also in the choices and the actions that we take. As we are led by the Spirit, have a tender heart this morning. Listen to the Holy Spirit and what he has to say to you. And respond in faithfulness and obedience. God would challenge us to live the blessed life. And consider this. When we give extravagantly, without thought of self, God does give immeasurable blessings. I want to draw your attention to a biographical sketch. It's of Solomon in 1 Kings. Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and he said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon answered, "Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment to administer justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Solomon, by law in the Old Testament, in offering a burnt offering, just had to offer one, to offer a bull, to express his worship to God, to express the commitment that he had to God, the affection and love that he had for God. He only had to offer one bull. But what does he do? And it's hard to imagine and picture this, but he offers one bull after another. 1,000 bulls in burnt offering to the Lord to express his love, to express his worship. I don't know what the people around him thought. You know, why are you doing so many? It'd be like if Pastor Cody was leading us in worship and instead of 3 songs, it was 30. Or instead of 30, it was 300. And we'd say, "Enough's enough." But what was Solomon doing? He was giving of himself extravagantly. And what did God do? God gave him a blank check. He says, "Whatever you ask, I'll give you." I wonder how many of us God would trust with a blank check. But God honored the motive and the desire of Solomon's heart, and he blessed him much more than Solomon expected. God challenges us to be a blessing in the lives of others and in the kingdom of God. And when we give extravagantly without regard to self, God blesses in return. Robert Morris, in his book, The Blessed Life, noted that our giving can be seen on 3 levels: tithes, offerings, and extravagant offerings. And one gentleman in his church responded, he said, "No, it's tithes, offerings, and painful offerings." The latter, of course, being the most challenging. But when we give extravagantly, without regard to what we get in return, and I detest the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, because that's not what God is about. He wants us to be like him, to give without regard to, well am I going to get out of it? You know, I was reminded also this week in preparation of Luke chapter 21. The situation there is Jesus and his disciples sitting near the temple. And it says, Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and he saw the poor widow put in her 2 very small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." It's interesting looking at that verse. I think Jesus' calculation of extravagant giving may often be different than ours. For you know what? He looks at the heart first. But then we can only give as God provides. Isn't that true? But when he does provide, we are assured that we cannot outgive God. The whole story of this widow's life is left untold. But Jesus recognized for the ages her selfless giving. So I think it would be fair to say that in faithfulness to the scripture, that God is faithful to his people and his promise. And we can rightly assume that she was blessed in her need with God's reciprocal provision. For God is faithful, and he honors those who give extravagantly without thought of self with immeasurable blessings. To live the blessed life, I want you also to consider this morning that the blessed life is possible when generosity overcomes self-interest. John chapter 12, in a very beautiful illustration of Mary's generosity in expressing her love for Jesus. It goes like this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. And Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." I want to give you a little backstory here on Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, brother and two sisters. When we see them early in the Gospels, Jesus and his disciples spend a day with them and share a meal. And Martha's a little upset because Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet trying to soak in all that he has to say while Martha is so busy preparing the meal. Which tells me, first of all, they weren't an upper-class family because there weren't servants to help. And of course, Martha objected, but Jesus stood up for Mary and said, "She has chosen the better thing." Later on, of course, it is Lazarus, their brother, that is raised from the dead by Jesus. 4 days dead in the tomb, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And so now we have this story that I just read for you, where again the disciples are with Jesus, with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at their home. And Mary, in a great example of generosity, takes this perfume that's worth a year's wages and pours it upon Jesus in an act of love and an act of worship. But Judas objected. It's interesting to note that Jesus had put Judas in charge of the money bag, knowing Judas's heart. Jesus wasn't unaware of what Judas was like and what he was doing, but yet he put him in charge of the money bag. I really believe Jesus wanted Judas to overcome selfishness. He wanted him to be given the opportunity to gain the victory in that area which was his weakness. But Judas failed in that, even going so far as betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. As Pastor has shared with us in this series, we are reminded that money is a test for all of us. And may we all measure up to Jesus' expectation. May we allow him to plant within us a generous spirit to overcome our own self-interest. Again, because we know that God is our provider, that he is faithful. We cannot outgive him. And when we allow him to make us a channel of giving, that he will bless and continue the process. I really believe that. Paul writes to the Corinthians again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then to the will of God also, and then by the will of God to also to us." The occasion of this collection was, you know, the church in Jerusalem and Israel being persecuted. There was also some scarcity because of famine. And so Paul and others were collecting in order to alleviate their need. And the Macedonian church, whom he's talking about, using as an example for the Corinthians, they gave, first of all, from their heart. And then they gave from the finite resources they had. But in God's leading, there was infinite provision, and so they gave even above their ability. You know, God wants to challenge you and I, again, not to get something from us, but to mold us and shape us into being a people after his own heart. And I'll briefly share a personal testimony just for the sake of example. About a month ago, I met with a friend of mine, a brother in Christ, who because of health issues was not able to work. And took him out for breakfast, tried to encourage him, gave him a few ideas on where he could get some help, said I would pray for him. And this happened to be just before the weekend of when we changed the clocks. And didn't do me any good that Saturday night, Sunday morning to get an extra hour of sleep because I was up for about 3 hours with some insomnia. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that, you know, you really need to do something to help him. And I said, all right. You know, we got the legacy offering coming up. But I went back to bed when Nanette got up for another, so I got some sleep for about an hour. And I didn't say anything to her then, but when I got up, I knew, you know, I needed to tell her what God was telling me. Well, when I first got up and sat down, she's drinking her cup of coffee. She said, I got something to tell you. And I said, well, I got something to tell you too. And she said, well, you speak first, okay. And I told her what I felt the Holy Spirit was wanting us to do. And she started crying because God had spoken to her too in her devotional time. So we helped our brother in Christ out. And I still said, Lord, what about the legacy offering? And, you know, about a week ago, I won't go into the details, but I got a refund and a credit to my credit card that I wasn't expecting at all. In fact, it was totally contrary to what I had been told about that expenditure. And I thought, wow, God. And so we're going to take that and we're going to double it and we're going to give. Because again, I believe you can't outgive God. That he guides you and leads you to be a blessing to other people. And to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and spreading the gospel. And so we're going to do what he says and see what he wants to do, you know. We've pretty much got what we need. So if he wants to give us any more, okay, we'll follow the plan. So we'll see what happens. But anyways. But I just share that to let you know that, you know, the Holy Spirit wants us to be people that are generous, to meet needs, to be a blessing in people's lives, to impact people for the kingdom of God. Oh, man, I only got 4 minutes. Sorry, Pastor. The blessed life is also something to consider, that the blessed life finds fulfillment in leaving a legacy, having invested in the kingdom of God. I don't have time to read the scripture, but just let me tell you. I'm drawing from another biographical sketch of King David. Now, he was a man who had already had significant impact in the nation of Israel, the kingdom of God, what God was doing. You know, he was the one that God used as a young man to defeat Goliath and to overcome the Philistines. David was one who was used by God when Saul was missed the mark on how to be a king and lead the people and be God's representative. God chose David to take his place. Now, David wasn't perfect, of course. He committed adultery and had her husband killed. But he found grace. And so he was one of Israel's greatest kings. And he wanted to build a temple for God rather than the tent of meeting and, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and everything. He thought that there should be a temple, a permanent building. But God said, well, you've been a man of war, and I'm going to save that task for Solomon, your son. So what does David do? He says, well, okay, well, I can't build it. My son's going to do it, but I'm going to help provide for it. And in that paragraph that I could have read for you, he gives 3,000 talents of gold, and he gives 7,000 talents of refined silver. It's for the beautification, the building of the temple. I'm sure it also financed all the labor because it took like 7 years to build, so you got to pay the guys that are working. I figured it up Wednesday, current market price. 3,000 talents of gold is 110 tons of gold. 7,000 talents of silver is 260 tons of silver. So the gold equals, in today's amount, the gold was worth $4.5 billion, and the silver was worth $26.2 million. And David gave this to the Lord because it was his heart's desire to see God's kingdom, as it was with Israel, further established with the building of a permanent temple. So David is a beautiful example, and he was an example to his people because they responded in that paragraph that I could have read for you, and they gave as well. And there was joy, there was worship, there was praise of what God was doing. David wanted to leave a legacy. He wanted to invest in people, and he wanted to invest in the kingdom of God. You know, I was a pastor for 14 years, and I always tried to lead my people in thinking outside of themselves. Part of that, of course, was being supportive of the church that we are part of, both as a district, as a state, our Christian colleges, etc. Every year we would have missions conferences, and for Nanette and I, we tried each year to give more than we did the year before. And I've been involved when I wasn't a pastor, remodeling project. Our home church in New Haven had what they called a Jubilee offering, where they wanted to retire the debt, and actually they were able to do so the year before we had the Great Recession, so they were prepared for going through that period of time. When I was in Valton, of course, this was like 88 through 94. I made about $210 a week, besides the parsonage, raising two little kids. My wife, she did some cleaning for not a retirement home, assisted living. And she also did some working at a daycare. And when we went through the building project, we only had, I'll just, you know, make $200 a week. We had $2,000 in savings. And God said, give it, be a leader, give an example, and we did. And just about a month and a half ago, we got to go to Wisconsin for a friend's wedding. Their daughter was getting married. And in 23 years or so since we left there, They have added on to the church. They built a new parsonage. The pastor that, when God moved us in another direction, the pastor that came in there, he's still been there, made a life for himself and his family and ministry, and the church is growing. And I say all that to say that whenever we invest in the kingdom of God, you know, here at Elevate, or if in the future we're going to buy or build a facility so we can reach more people for Jesus Christ here in Fort Wayne and make a difference, we are laying a legacy. Amen. Amen. We're making an impact for the kingdom of God in changing people's lives. And there's a lot of satisfaction in that, let me tell you. So in the blessed life, investing ourselves in the kingdom of God, and investing ourselves in people's lives, I want you to consider these final words. In Timothy, Paul writes, and he says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. But command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." And I also close with the closing paragraph from Robert Morris's book, The Blessed Life. He says, "Giving when the Lord leads, helping people know the love and goodness of God, keeping the focus on God rather than on things, being generous and allowing God to do a work in our heart are the keys to making our journey on earth an adventure of joy and purpose. These are the keys to the blessed life." You know, I close this morning where I began, with the heart of God and His extravagant love for each and every one of us. And there may be someone sitting here in this auditorium this morning who hasn't yet experienced that love for yourself. But I want you to know that you can today. Maybe you've drifted from that love in your life. You can return to His embrace this morning. So today you can either discover or rediscover God's blessing in your life in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness and reconciliation, the peace and joy that He can give, the meaning and the fulfillment. I'd like you to close your eyes. We're going to have a word of prayer in a moment. And I don't want to embarrass anybody or ask you to stand or come forward, but if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart today and you want to experience the love of Jesus for the first time today, it's there for you. Or if you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ this morning, He's more than welcome to take you back. So at the count of three, I'd like you to raise your hands as an expression of your decision, and we're going to pray with you and for you. 1, 2, 3. Congregation, let's pray this prayer. And if you didn't raise your hand, you can still pray it, and Jesus will answer it. Jesus, forgive me of my shortcomings and my sins. I give my life to You. I believe that You loved me and died for me. Fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to walk with You and serve You. My life is not my own. Thank You for the gift of eternal life.